And we're back. Better Never, it's Breaking Free with MJ podcast. This is a special broadcast that we're doing today for the podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. That's a lot of podcasts in one sentence. This is an analysis of the Trump administration's national security strategy. And if you're not familiar with it, it's a 33-page document in which your government explains how they are going to keep your country safe, how they are going to keep you safe, how they are going to protect you from foreign and domestic enemies. So I would think that every adult with a functioning brain would want to hear this, especially from someone who can translate the technical into the simple like myself. And that is actually what I intend to do here, is to simplify their national security strategy, because I'm here to tell you it absolutely 100% will impact you in every imaginable way. So we had recently the Genesis Mission Project announcement, the basically AI takeover of your government and your country. And now we have the national security strategy as the basis for it. So we're going to do that analysis. And my commitment to you is it will be simplified. We're not going to do a bunch of technical jargon, government jargon, and political siding and partisanship and, you know, Republican versus Democrat fight club. That's not why I'm here. I'm here to get to the bottom of the truth always. That's my goal. So you do have to have a bit of an understanding of economics and government policy to understand what they're doing in your government and how they intend to protect you. I mean, that's what the national security, hello, Jennifer, that's what the national security strategy is all about. It's the federal government's plan for how they intend to protect your freedoms and your country. Well, I should say, ideally, it should be a plan to protect your freedoms. Spoiler alert, that is not what this plan does. Sorry, not sorry to be the bearer of reality to you. I'm not here to bring you bad news. I'm here to simply tell you what is in the national strategy document in the most simple possible way I can, so deceivers and opportunists and profiteers of all kinds cannot take advantage of you and deceive you. So with that being said, let's just jump into it. Let me begin by saying something that might surprise you. The Trump administration's national security strategy sounds incredible. Hey, John, how are you? We are live on Facebook here, so if you hear me acknowledging people, that's what it's for. On the surface, the national security strategy sounds incredible. If you just read it at face value, the tone, the promises, the language, it hits you like a patriotic adrenaline shot. It really does. Seriously. If you're an average citizen flipping through it on your lunch break, if you don't live and breathe geopolitics, AI economics, or constitutional analysis, you'd probably get to the end and think, wow, America's really back. We're going to be stronger than ever. We're going to dominate. And you actually would be right, with a couple of very important caveats. And I can understand why anybody would read this strategy and get excited about it. I actually understand why the conservative influencers are jumping up and down saying Trump is the greatest president of all time. He's better than Washington. He's you know, the most pro-American president ever. I can see why. At face value, they might think that, because they're only skimming the surface. And that's what happens when you only skim the surface, when you don't actually start peeling the onion layers back to see what's actually in it. You know, that brings me back to the whole Operation Warp Speed One thing. Nobody could ask what was in it. It was, hey, it's safe and effective. Well, what's in it? None your business. That's kind of like this. Wow, this sounds like a great patriotic security plan. What's in it? None your business. Because it's actually hard to understand, and there's a reason for that. We'll get to that in a minute. The language is polished, the tone is assertive, the vision is bold and comforting at the same time. It talks about restoring American greatness, ending decades of American weakness, rebuilding our national strength, creating an economy that can't be threatened by global competitors, protecting our borders, our industry, and our physical safety, returning America to exceptionalism. It's very easy to see how the Trump-friendly podcast and the patriotic commentators and the hyper-enthusiastic influencers have all been cheering. This is 5D chess, they are declaring. This is the resurrection of the mighty America. This is the strategy no other administration has had the guts or the brains to write. And honestly, I get it. I can see how they would think that. It's a powerful read. Emotionally, it's very effective. You read it and feel like you're in good hands, like the government really cares about you, like there's a plan to protect you from every direction. But, and here's where everything changes, something starts to feel off as I get deeper and deeper into the document. Just a little itch in the back of my brain, something I can't really place at first. And then I reach the end. I close the document and suddenly it clicks. The entire national security strategy, all the promises of safety, strength, and security rest on one thing and one thing only. And that is massive industrialization and mega corporation expansion, including of the military-industrial complex. This, my friends, is the industrialization plan of America. And it's focused on industry and institution, not citizens, not workers, not small businesses, not communities, not individual liberties. No, 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 none of that stuff. The heart of the 2025 national security strategy is to make the industrial complexes bigger, stronger, and more dominant than they have ever been before. And those old Reagan trickle-down economics days that they claim that this strategy is based on, in an era before autonomous AI and algorithmic labor replacement? Well, that might have been a plausible economic model at one time. But today, in the age of autonomous AI, we really are going to believe that these massive mega corporations and military industrial complexes are going to trickle down their savings to us as they replace all of our jobs with robots? Self-running corporations, collapsing labor markets, monopolistic digital platforms, disappearing small businesses, surveillance capitalism, and machine-run logistics and manufacturing. I'm here to tell you, this strategy becomes something else entirely. It becomes a blueprint, accidentally or intentionally, depending on your perspective, for a society where national security is guaranteed, but only for the people at the top. Not for the worker, not for the average American, not for the family trying to keep a roof over their heads, not for the person being replaced by algorithms, not for the citizen whose privacy and autonomy disappear under industrial AI control. It becomes a strategy that protects the rising oligarchy, but leaves the majority of Americans exposed, vulnerable, and behind. And today I want to break this down clearly, simply, and powerfully, because once you see it, you will never be able to unsee it again. And my standard disclaimer, I take no joy in delivering this news to you. Zero joy. In fact, as always, as I share something as disappointing and tragic as this, I do so with a very heavy heart. Not to elevate myself, not to create some sensationalist social media influencing channel, not to make people feel bad, not to give you a sense of doom and gloom, but to wake you up as to what's happening and to tell you the rest of the story. Somebody messaged me yesterday and said, "You remind me of Paul Harvey, you're the modern day Paul Harvey. Here's the story they're giving you, and here's the rest of the story. With the exception that you have a very deep technology background and understanding of the very technology they're using now to replace us. Thank you for that. I think it's visual and I think it's relevant. So here is the rest of the story about the Trump administration national security strategy that they are so proud of, that their podcasters and influencers are doing backflips over right now. The strategy sounds patriotic, but it's industrial, not constitutional. Let's start with what the document is supposed to be. It's supposed to be a national security strategy, a plan to protect citizens, a plan to preserve civil liberties. Am I right? Isn't that what you would expect the national security plan to be? How they're going to protect your civil liberties, right? I mean, that America's all about our civil liberties. It's not about the liberties of the massive conglomerate monopoly industry and institutions. It's about our civil liberties, not theirs. Am I right or am I crazy? Well, I'm right. It's supposed to be a plan to strengthen constitutional governance is what it's supposed to be. It should be a plan to ensure economic security for all Americans, shouldn't it? Shouldn't national security also ensure that our economic freedoms are conserved? Of course. It should be a plan to prevent tyranny, foreign and domestic. But that's not what this strategy is. This strategy equates national security with industrial strength, not people. You see how that works? Let me say that again. This strategy equates national security with industrial strength. Think big pharma. Think military industrial complex. Think of these institutions that have completely overpowered absolutely everyone. It's not about people. It assumes, without saying it, that if corporations are strong, then America is strong. That's the core belief of the Trump administration's national security strategy. Boy, this is going to get me in trouble, isn't it? I'm just realizing this as I'm saying it. Nobody's breaking it down like this. I just probably moved up another 10 notches on their watch list. That's all right. We know you're watching us and listening to us. The core belief here is that corporations are strong, then America will be strong. That's the core belief under the surface. Not to protect the people, not to safeguard the Constitution, not to ensure decentralization of power, which is absolutely crucial and critical to small business development, not to defend free speech, not to support small business, not to empower workers, not to preserve privacy and human dignity. No, there's nothing even remotely like that in this document, just so you know. This document could have been written by Hank Reardon himself, if you've read Atlas Shrugged. And it probably was written by a modern-day Hank Reardon, right there up in the Oval Office, probably somebody like David Sacks, an AI industrialist. No, this document's soul is to strengthen the megastructures. I've started to refer to them as the superstructures. The assumption is the people will be fine. That's the central flow of this document and the central danger. Because in the age of autonomous AI, industry can thrive while people collapse. Is that not happening right now? Do you not see a massive dichotomy between what is happening on Wall Street and what is happening on Main Street? How many times have I talked about this? They're related, but they're not the same thing. 90% of the country can be suffering. Why 10% who are benefiting from Wall Street can be throwing Dom Perignon champagne parties and doing Wolf on Wall Street celebrations? And that is the case right now. Because the entire stock market is being held up by what is being referred to as AI exuberance. And everybody's profiting and the 401ks are swelling and everybody's all puffed up and inflated saying best president ever while not looking at the other side of the equation, while not looking at the bucket, the other bucket, they're where all that money's coming from that's dumping into their bucket. Well, it's coming at the expense of blue collar worker jobs. It's coming at the expense of information worker jobs. And money doesn't just self-generate. It always comes from somewhere else. That's why I say when you see your 401k blowing up, it's coming from somewhere. You might want to figure out where that is. Let me say it again. Industry can thrive while the people collapse, especially in the age of autonomous AI. It is insane to say, hey, look at all the corporations blowing up and doing so amazing. And of course, everyone else is going to benefit when they're literally replacing all the jobs. So the corporations are blowing up. You see how that works? It's all related. So there's two possible interpretations here. By the time I finished this 33-page strategy, the entire thing became crystal clear. There are honestly only two possible interpretations for why this strategy looks the way it does. Interpretation number one, and I'm going to let you choose this. You tell me which interpretation you think is more accurate. Because we know these things are nuanced. You know, I'm not a false dilemma guy. I'm not an absolutist. I know there's a lot of gray areas when it comes to these things. But I'm just seeing overall two interpretations. The first one, this administration is stuck in a 1980s pre-AI trickle-down worldview. In this worldview, if industries succeed, jobs will trickle down. If manufacturing comes home, wages will rise. If America dominates industrially, citizens will be secure. That model worked when humans were required for every step of production, but it fails completely in an AI-driven economy where factories run with 10% of the workforce, AI writes the codes, runs the machines, and manages the logistics. Corporations scale without hiring a single human worker. Their profit increases while their employment decreases. That's interpretation one. Interpretation two, they know exactly what they're doing. They're not just economically ignorant. They know that this is not going to be trickle-down economics. They know the jobs are going away. They know all the jobs are going away. They're deliberately building a centralized industrial superstate. They're deliberately building a corporate government fusion, as I've been talking about, the marriage of corporate mega corporations and government, the artificial aristocracy that Jefferson warned about, a vertically integrated oligarchy, a surveillance-enabled power structure, a 1984-style digital caste system where the definition of security means security for them, not for us. Either interpretation should concern every freedom-loving American, because whether it's intentional or not intentional, the end result is the same. The strategy protects the industrial aristocracy and leaves the people behind. Now, you read through that 33-page document and change my mind on everything I'm saying. Prove me wrong, because you're not going to read anything about civil liberties in there. You're not going to read anything about preserving jobs and worker protections and consumer protections, because that's not the focus of it. The focus is building up the mega corporate state and all of the industrial complexes that are now removing everybody. The mega industrialization model and why it fails in an AI economy. Let me break it down. The core issues. So anyone, your neighbor, your barber, your Lyft driver can understand it. In the old industrial model, more factories meant more jobs. In the AI industrial model, more factories equals more robots. Factories today are increasingly AI run, sensor driven, autonomous, massively efficient, self-optimizing even, human minimal, and more, as they can't find people to fill the many open factory positions. Same with shipping, logistics, military production, energy production, cybersecurity, agriculture, manufacturing, transportation, which means the central assumption of the 2025 national security strategy that industrial growth will produce national security is already outdated. Trickle-down economics, already completely outdated. Industrial dominance no longer equals citizen prosperity. Do you think they know this, or they're ignorant and they don't know this? Again, it's irrelevant. The outcome's the same. Industrial dominance no longer equals stable jobs. Industrial dominance no longer equals decentralization. Industrial dominance no longer equals freedom. In fact, industrial dominance, when combined with AI, often reduces jobs, wages, local economies, small business viability, economic diversity, individual autonomy, bargaining power, freedom of speech, and company-controlled platforms. And you know what increases? Corporate power, executive wealth, surveillance, worker monitoring, algorithmic management, shareholder profit. And don't think you're going to go be a shareholder when you have companies like Synopsys, which is an agentic AI company, trading for $440 a share. We're not invited into that investment world, us peons who don't have a $440 to spare. We don't get to play in that game. We used to be able to play in that game. You used to be able to, when technology companies came online, you could buy a bunch of Facebook stock if you wanted for $33 a share. Boy, those were the days. Not anymore. They don't want you to profit from all their technologies. This isn't for you. This is for them. Algorithmic management. Algorithmic ownership. Private algorithmic ownership that we can't even see how they've programmed it. Dependence on megastructures, yet the national security strategy treats megacorporations like they are the backbone of democracy, when today they are often the greatest threat to it. They're definitely the greatest threat to small business. They're definitely the greatest threat to rugged individualism. At what point did America just go all in full retard on industrialization and, hey, screw small business? What happened? Did people just get lazy? Did it become too hard to run a small business and they're just tired and they just don't want to run through the hoops? Is it too expensive now to run a small business? And is the reason for that because they've made it that way? Part four, where the strategy completely ignores the worker. Look closely and you'll notice something about this strategy. It never meaningfully talks about small business, independent entrepreneurs, gig workers, the self-employed, tradesmen, artisans, local economies, unions, displaced workers, retraining the workforce, protecting Americans from AI replacement. Not once, not a paragraph, not a section, not a single bullet point. It's as if the average American does not even exist in this strategy. Only industries exist. Only corporate power exists. Only large-scale systems exist. It's the national security equivalent of saying, as long as Amazon and Raytheon and Palantir are doing well, America's being made great again. And we all know that is about the furthest thing from the truth ever. But boy, the way they put it in this document, you would think that that is the greatest truth ever spoken. Let's be really blunt. Here's who gets security under this plan. Defense contractors, AI developers, semiconductor giants, global shipping companies, energy conglomerates, industrial mining corporations, rare earth mining corporations, pharmaceutical giants, agribusiness monopolies, bioengineering companies, big pharmacy, surveillance technology firms, data center owners, hedge funds investing in industrial tech, private equity firms. Did you hear your name mentioned in there anywhere? I didn't hear mine. Did you hear your hopes and dreams anywhere in there? I didn't hear mine. Did you hear any even trace of the American dream in there? Can you draw a single line to a benefit for the blue-collar working class and even the lower middle class, even the middle class, because that's going away too? Can you find a single straight-line benefit from all those companies I just listed? Well, of course you can't, because they're all converting to AI anyway. At least in the old world, you could say, yeah, Mark, that's going to create a lot of middle management jobs. It's going to create a lot of blue-collar jobs. Not anymore, not in the age of job replacement technology called autonomous AI. I hope you realize I'm delivering you tragic news. This is a tragedy. This isn't funny. This isn't cute. This isn't interesting. This isn't intriguing. This is the frickin' eulogy for your country. They don't care about you. They care about industry, industrialization, and automated, autonomous industrialization at that. You're hearing the eulogy for your country. I just want to make that clear. You know who doesn't get security from this plan? The worker, the trucker, the teacher, the retail worker, the small business owner, the independent creator, the factory worker replaced by robotics, the coder, the programmer replaced by AI models, the app maker, the former crushed by big ag. I'm sorry, the farmer crushed by big agriculture, automated agriculture, the citizen monitored by industrial AI systems, the average American trying to keep up with rising costs. This national security strategy treats the industrial machine as the citizen. Let that sink in. The beast industry as the citizen. Isn't this remarkable what I'm saying right now? That the national security strategy for America treats the mega corporation like the citizen? Dude, what happened? Where did we go wrong? How did we get all these industrialists in office that all they care about is making more superstructure, megastructure, and couldn't care less what happens to everybody as a result? What happened? Well, if nothing else, you have an amazing contrast to look retrospectively at previous presidents now, don't you? Because, you know, that was hard for a while. It was really difficult to see, looking back at other presidents, if they were really for us or against us, you know? We know they were all pro-industrialization, but looking back at them now, it's different, doesn't it? Because they were creating jobs by the millions, all of them, all of them. And the industries that they supported created jobs because they weren't autonomous. So here's where the pivot should have happened, if you're wondering. As soon as America saw that this autonomous AI was coming online, and the people like me started hollering about it with the technology backgrounds, saying, whoa, hold up on the AI. You're going to replace all the jobs. Don't go full retard with the AI. You're not going to autonomize all of our industry. You're not going to AI-ify everything. You're not going to replace everybody's jobs. Hold on. We'll work together to ensure that we continue to innovate and at the same time preserve the national security for the citizen and preserve their constitutional rights and their civil liberties. That's what should have happened. That is not what happened. We don't have anybody speaking the way that I'm speaking right now in the government. We have a full-on government taxation without representation. That's what we have. I'm talking about we the people, the majority, the working class, the blue-collar class, and the lower middle class, and soon to be all of the middle class, and soon to be the lower upper class, because they're all getting devoured by this evil Pac-Man. A lot of them are benefiting from this takeover right now, and they don't understand that they're next. They don't understand. They don't understand that this is an invasive species, my friends. It is a malicious cancer that devours everything in its past. And that's why I called it the total tech takeover in my book, because it is a total tech takeover. And it's not tech for us. It's tech for them. And this national security document, 33 pages of it. Do you think it's interesting that it's 33 pages, by the way? Anybody's into numbers? You think that number's kind of interesting, 33? Check it out. Do a little research on that number, 33. I thought that was interesting. It does have some significance. It really does. Again, the national security strategy of the Trump administration treats the industrial machine as the citizen. It treats the worker as not even a footnote. The worker's not even a footnote on there. Now, granted, I know that the W word is a bad word, as I've talked about many times on this podcast. If you use the word worker, you will be accused of being a socialist. God forbid you say workers' rights. And GD you if you say union. How did America become so brainwashed and so pro-industrialization, mega-corporation oligarchy that they're attacking their fellow citizens for wanting to protect the workers? What in hell has happened to this country and its people? What a number they've done on the people. The strategy creates asymmetrical security. Security for the top, insecurity for the bottom. Let's look at it like this. The government is promising security for supply chains, infrastructure, manufacturing bases, industrial AI, big investors, corporate interests. But what about security for your job, for your future earning potential, for your privacy, for your digital rights, your freedom of expression, your ability to compete with AI-driven giants, your local community, your children's economic opportunities? There's nothing. There's not even a footnote. How is that okay? How is it okay that your government just cranked out a 33-page national security document that doesn't give one single rat's behind about your national security? What have we become? 33, the fallen angels, John said. There was a lot of 33 at that Charlie Kirk event, some friends have informed me. This document is completely silent on all the things that matter to us peasants the most. If this strategy succeeds exactly as written, the citizen loses. Because the gap between industrial power and citizen power grows wider every year, and AI accelerates that gap at warp speed into a black hole. Not even a gap anymore. Here's the big blind spot of this national security strategy. It's got a big old blind spot. And that's what I meant when I first read through it. I was so enamored. I was mesmerized by the language. I was sitting there going, America's back. This is good. Before the blind spot occurred to me. It's the AI blind spot. And here's the biggest irony. The Trump national security strategy speaks endlessly about industrial power while completely ignoring the most transformative industrial force ever created, and that's AI. It never grapples with AI-driven job loss. It doesn't talk about AI-driven economic centralization or AI-driven corporate monopolization or AI-driven surveillance or AI-driven censorship or AI-driven political manipulation or AI-driven deepfakes. Slander, defamation, assassination of character, collapse of the middle class. It doesn't deal with any of these things. Aren't all of these things of the utmost importance to your national security and the preservation of how is this conservatism? Conservative is supposed to be able to conserve your constitutional rights. How does this conserve the Constitution and your rights and civil liberties? It doesn't. It runs roughshod all over them. It takes the don't tread on me Gadsden flag. It douses it with gasoline. It tosses it down and then sets it on fire. And then when it's ashes, it takes a pee on them. I'm just telling you the truth about it. Again, I'm not the bearer of bad news. I'm the bearer of reality. This is the reality of the document. Go read it and tell me if you get something different out of it. It will be a miracle if you get something different out of it. If anything, you'll see parts that I even missed. But this is the equivalent of writing a national security plan in 1900 without mentioning electricity. I kid you not. Or writing one in 1995 without mentioning the internet. Today, AI is the force that determines who wins. It is the algorithmic force right now determining who wins, determining who works, determining who prospers, determining who controls information, determining who controls power. Yet the document treats AI as a tool for industry, not a threat to citizens. Now, don't you think that an administration that was truly focused on your security would be presenting AI as both a powerful tool for innovation and the greatest threat that Americans had ever faced? Of course they would. But see, they're not worried about Americans. They're not even thinking about Americans. This may be the Make America Great Again for Industry administration, but it's not the Make America Great Again for the Worker industry. It's not Make the Constitution Great Again. It's not Make Civil Liberties Great Again. It's not Save the Middle and Lower Classes. It's Protect the Upper Elite Classes at all costs. With all the power of AI and all the power of every single industrial complex, super and mega corporation. And that's the fatal flaw. It's not just a blind spot. It's a fatal flaw. Because the truth of the matter is, the rest of the story is that AI strengthens the mega corporations, especially anarcho AI, which they refuse to regulate. And now, by the way, are claiming they're going to federally regulate and once again ban states from regulating. Who do you think their federal regulation is going to work for? Same ones this national security document works for. The upper elite class rulers and their investors. AI replaces human workers. This document, you'd have no inkling whatsoever that that's a reality. We are a national security threat that we are facing to American civil liberties, American freedom, and human dignity. You'd have no indication from this document whatsoever that that was even a threat. Isn't that negligent and reckless that they would do that? To not consider this a national security threat to me and you and to everything we hold dear? My God. AI erodes civil liberties and they know it. AI restructures society and they know it. They're just not saying it. What does this mean for the future of America? Well, let's put all the pieces together so even a 12-year-old could follow it. The Trump administration national security strategy is saying, let's make our corporations strong. But in the AI age, strong corporations do not guarantee strong citizens. In fact, strong corporations may weaken citizens and will weaken citizens because strong corporations are automated by AI. And when that happens, jobs are eliminated. AI manages people. Industrial systems watch workers. Wages stagnate, shrink. Small businesses die. The industrial economy becomes disconnected from the citizen economy, just as it has. And when that happens, you get a two-tier society. Tier number one, the new industrial aristocracy oligarchy, made up of elite megacorporations, investors, political elites, AI owners, and defense contractors, weaponry contractors. Tier two, everyone else. The surveilled, the automated, the replaced, the economically insecure, the politically powerless. That's not national security, my friends. That's the blueprint for a digital plantation. This strategy should alarm everybody. Because if we have decentralized power, we should have decentralized power. If you love decentralized power and free speech and privacy and local autonomy and states' rights and small business and competition and worker dignity and human sovereignty, then this strategy should deeply concern you because it centralizes power into the mega corporations, into the industrial sectors, into the military partnerships, the intelligence agencies, the AI-driven infrastructures with almost no checks, no balances, or protections for citizens whatsoever. And this is how we get a 1984 surveillance state, an AI-governed workforce, or what's left of it, a censorship run by corporate algorithms, economic dependence on industrial giants, loss of privacy, loss of civil liberties, collapse of local economies, destruction of small business, erosion of democracy. This is not fear-mongering. This is simple structural analysis. When you centralize power in AI-enhanced industrial complexes, you inevitably diminish the power of the individual. It's the same way with the money in the 401ks. When you pump the 401ks full of money from the other classes, you empower one class and you depower another class. And that's exactly what's happened. It's called reverse Robin Hood. Let me close with a question at the heart of this conversation, and that is, who does this document provide security for? If the national security strategy defines security as job security, financial stability, protection from automation, freedom from surveillance, constitutional rights, decentralized government power, which I thought we were getting, by the way, robust civil liberties, diverse economic opportunity, protection from corporate tyranny, then I would be applauding it. Because those are all matters of national security. But this document defines security as security for the industrial titans and no one else, which means security for the few, insecurity for the many. In the AI age, in this unprecedented moment, that is not national security strategy. That is a national insecurity strategy. Because a nation cannot be secure if its people are not secure. And a government cannot claim to defend liberty if the very tools it empowers crush the economic freedom and autonomy of its citizens. The strategy is either dangerously outdated or dangerously intentional. And either way, the American people deserve better. The Constitution demands better. And the future requires better. And I know that might sound cliche, but every word is true. This national security strategy that they are bragging about, if you take one thing away from this talk today, it is for them and not for us. And when I say them, I'm talking about the industry titans, the institutional titans, the multi-millionaires and billionaires, the algorithmic owners, the algorithmic managers, the military-industrial complex, and all of their investor partners around the world. Because this is a global effort. It is a new form of globalism, unlike any we've ever seen before. And I'm here to tell you today, my friends, they are going to remove anybody who gets in their way. This is so big. This isn't just like a, hey, here's the Democrat policy for America. Or here's No. This is the global policy for the world. This is a new world order. And it is definitely all about superstructure, megacorporate dominance, and the completion of and preservation of an elite ruling class, an artificial aristocracy in which there is nothing but elite rich and people in poverty. There will be nothing in between. And this document makes that 100% clear. If I had any doubt going into it, I now know for sure. They don't really care about us. They care about them. And they see their job. This is fundamental, what I'm going to say next. They see their job as preserving America's industry and building it up with a technology that is designed to replace us. Think about either the ignorance of doing that or the evil. But whatever it is, it's either profound ignorance or profound evil. There's no other options. Which do you think it is? Some people say it's both. Fair. Because you have to wonder, how could anybody go forward with this unless they were just profoundly ignorant? I mean, they'd have to be totally depraved. They'd have to be so heartless and so soulless. And, you know, admittedly, I have friends who say, oh, no, they're heartless, they're soulless. They say, oh, they know what they're doing. But, you know, as I've said in the past, one of my barriers to that agreement is that I've seen so many business people get fleeced by technologists through the years, through their promises of utopia and leapfrogging the competition. And now these same technologists are saying the same thing to Trump and his people. We'll beat China. This is going to beat China. You know, we're going to get ahead of China. This is going to make you the greatest technology pioneer ever. Our people are going to have money. Everybody's going to have utopian golden age exuberance and joy and you're going to be the guy that makes it all happen. A skeptic like me would tell him to get the F out of the room. But, you know, the problem with narcissists, you probably know where I'm going with this, is that they're very vulnerable to this type of grifting. And they're always looking for something to elevate themselves. And if somebody comes in promising them all the kingdoms of the world, it can be pretty tempting for the person who wants to rule all the kingdoms. And they know that. And they know how to exploit those very people. Could it be a massive con job on ignorant business people? Yeah, it could. And I'll tell you why it could. Because they're all living in an echo chamber. They're not listening to any MJs. They're not listening to people like me. They think I am the enemy of America. They think I'm anti-institution, anti-establishment, anti-government, because those are all their structures that keep them elite rich. They can't fathom an independent existence like mine. That has never even occurred to them. They're in the system, they work within the system, and the system enriches them. And of course, yes, I'm part of the system. I mean, we're all kind of nodes in the system, especially if we're using the technology and we're all interconnected. But the system isn't my God. And I know it's not, well, I can't say I know, because maybe the system is some of the gods of people listening to this right now. But for me, I don't bow down and worship the system. I don't think the system is superior. I don't think it's worthy of worship. I actually look at the system as a necessary evil. And I only interact with it as I need to. But then again, I see, you know, the world itself as being very corrupt. So my God is not the world. It's not the system. My God is in heaven, next to his son. And I consider him supreme. And he is my barometer and yardstick for what is good and what is righteous and what is true. And what he tells me is that he loves his whole creation, and that, you know, everybody is valuable in his eyes because they're made in his image. And he's demanded just rulers and just governance. And he absolutely detests favoritism. He just hates it. And he hates rulers that play favorites, especially for corrupt people who are lying in wait and exploiting the working classes. I mean, there are so many warnings in the Bible about exploiting the sheep without a shepherd and the working classes. And we're seeing mass exploitation, the heartless and soulless replacement of jobs. I mean, they're literally bragging about replacing all the Lyft and Uber drivers. If I was in the younger generation, I'd just be going bananas. They're bragging about turning all the cars autonomous. This is not something I would be excited about. Where do they think the money's going to come from? Because I tell you what, these autocrats, these elite technocrats and kleptocrats, they're not going to share their money unless they're compelled to do so. And now we're back to totalitarianism again. You see how that works? That's why I say both parties right now, the extreme left party and their agenda of Marxism, and the extreme party of the right and their kleptocracy and their technocracy, both lead to totalitarianism. That's why I say, if I was doing a walk away movement, I'd say walk away from both extremes, because both lead to totalitarianism and the death of America. We actually need moderatism. We need just government, just like we've had at times. Not perfect, but way better than we have now. And again, looking back through the lens, 2020, it's always easy, but looking back now and looking at various presidents and seeing who was for the worker and who wasn't, it's so much clearer now. In light of a document like this national security document that just basically takes a very long dump on the average American for 33, a 33-page dump on the average American. But again, coming back to the beginning of this again, if you read it, it sounds really, really enticing. It sounds awesome. It sounds like we are in the hands of a government that loves us and is going to keep us safe, until you realize that the way they're going to do this is building up all the mega corporations who are right now employing job replacement technology, and that the end game of this strategy is an oligarchy of elite ruling class and the masses in poverty. There it is. So that's my analysis of it without getting into the specific details of it, because you don't need to. The bottom line is it's pro-industry, it's pro-industrialization, it's pro-elitism. And as I said before, there's not a word in it about you and me. And I think that's probably by design. So take it for what it's worth to you. Look into it further. I always say test every spirit. Analyze, research. Always trust but verify for yourself. Read the document yourself. Get back to me. Let me know if you think that that's for us or that's for them. This is Breaking Free with MJ, and thank you for tuning in today. And as always, I pray that you continue to stand firmly grounded in the truth of the gospel, and that you refuse to be moved, and that you tell as many people as possible about everything you've learned from here and your other sources about what is actually happening, that you would read my book, Total Tech Takeover, you would tell a friend, and you would continue to arm yourself with knowledge. Because, my friends, knowledge is power, and that is the one thing they don't want you to have. God bless you, and have a wonderful day.